Hour number three, RBKD. Glad to have Jeff Howe out here. Out here is in San Marcos. Stop on by. We're at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. It's Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. This area is really cool. This is really, as Jeff said, blown up the last 10 years. And got a lot of people out here, a lot of fans that have come out to say hi. So we appreciate that. We'll get back into Texas football. We're going to actually maybe get some Texas football in this segment, but we got Beat the Pluck right now with Dave Paul. Get to pluckers.com, best wings in town, 7 Austin area locations. You can get to pluckers.com to find out, not only order online, but find a location near you. Take a look at that great menu. It'd be a great spot to watch any of the games, whether it's tonight, definitely tomorrow, and Saturday. All right, Beat the Pluck, hornfm.com. You go there, you sign up for some free food and free beer. That is, if I beat Dave Paul. I'm 2-0 against Dave in the first 2 weeks. I know Dave's a competitive guy, so we've got week three here where we're picking against the spread in different college games. We'll get Rod's thoughts on that as well. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's been less than competitive the last 2 weeks, Kevin. I've been terrible.
Yeah, I know. We've had 7 different picks, and I don't want to rub it in, but I've won all 7. And usually, look, we've been back and forth in the 5 or 6 years we've been doing this where you'll win a week, I'll win a week. But even in the weeks that one of us loses, except for that one terrible stretch I've had, you've always been real competitive. You feeling better in week 3?
Let's give it a go. Let's see.
All right, let's give it a go. We're going to start with it's a good week, better week than last week. Not as good as week 1, but I think some pretty good lines out there and some competitive games that may be under the radar. We're going to start with 1, Virginia Tech at West Virginia. West Virginia had that opening loss to Maryland. They were kind of one of those sleepers or maybe wild card teams we had talked about preseason with the Big 12. Virginia Tech, their defense has been brutal the last couple years, but they've been a lot better through the first couple games, including that win against North Carolina. Yet you've got West Virginia, who's the 2.5-point favorite. Virginia Tech at West Virginia, Mountaineers favored by 2.5. Where are you going?
I like West Virginia at home. They're such a different team at home, and I think if it was 3.5, I might lean Virginia Tech, but I think at 2.5, I like the Mountaineers.
All right, you're going to go Mountaineers there. I've been kind of back and forth on this because right away it was like, Virginia Tech. We can get into transitive property a little bit too much. I am going to end up going with Virginia Tech, 2.5. And, yeah, I like that 3.5 a lot more, that 3 where it started. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go ahead and trust my eyes and see if Virginia Tech can get that done. Okay, this one is one that Michigan State at Miami, maybe the same thing, where we're bagging on Miami because of the Alabama loss. And App State's a really damn good team. They ended up winning that game. But they're a 6-point favorite at home to Michigan State. Michigan State comes in, really haven't proven much. I mean, they've looked solid, but it was against Northwestern and against no one after that. I'm going to go with Michigan State, though. When I look at this game, I think Michigan State has a really good chance to win this thing outright. And with 6, I'm going to go with the Spartans.
I agree with you. I think Michigan State, the Northwestern game, Northwestern, you never can tell the first 2 or 3 games what kind of team they're going to be, but they just manhandled them. And Miami, I don't know. I mean, they have playmakers, but they don't seem to be strong in the line of scrimmage. I think Mel Tucker's got something good going on at Michigan State, so I like Spartans too.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at Miami, I'm just not sold on Miami at all. I just don't think they're that good of a team, and I definitely don't think that they are a top 25 team. So if that's the case in Michigan State, we'll find out more about them, but Michigan State's been really damn solid, as Dave kind of alluded to. So if I'm looking at that, I told you all week long, take Michigan State. That was up to 6.5. Down to 6 at most lines, but that's one of those I would look at. Rob, let's bring you in here. We got 2 games we've hit. We got West Virginia, Virginia Tech, Michigan State, Miami. Let's start with Virginia Tech, West Virginia. West Virginia favored by 2.5. That surprised us a little bit. We talked about it all week. Would you go with the Mountaineers like Dave?
I don't have enough faith in Daigie, the quarterback. I think he's limited, but, I mean, they got Lady Brown. They got some weapons there. It's an early game. Usually, if West Virginia is going to have a dominant home presence, it'd be at night. I'll take Virginia Tech.
All right. So yeah. You're leaning with me. What about Michigan State, Miami? You know I've been I've been preaching this all week long.
You have been, so I'm trusting you. You've been hot lately, okay. And you've been passionate about it, so I'm with you. I'll take Michigan State. Yeah.
Once again, like Iowa, Iowa State.
You've been preaching that for like a week.
Not only are they covering, I think they win this thing.
Wow, outright.
And, yeah, outright. Yeah. I think they go down to Miami and
win it. Might be the end
it.
Of Manny Diaz, too.
I think
oh, but the beginning of the year.
I think it already is the end of Manny Diaz. All right, Auburn at Penn State, Dave. Penn State favored by 5 in this thing. Bo Nix has been awful on the road if you look at his road numbers. But Auburn's been really good under Brian Harsin. Against 2 cupcakes, Penn State hasn't proven that much either. I don't trust either quarterback, Clifford or Nix. This was a tough one for me. Where are you leaning?
I'm with you on Nix. I mean, I think his ratio is like 50-50 on touchdowns, interceptions on the road, and at home he's fantastic. It's going to be a wideout, great game day atmosphere. I think Penn State wins this game by probably 10 points.
Okay. I'm with you, and you could probably tell I gave it away there a little bit. That with the whole Nix thing. I don't trust Sean Clifford. I don't know exactly how good Penn State is. But with the wideout, like Dave says, I'll go ahead and lay the 5. That line has come down a little bit. So we're both taking Michigan State, both taking Penn State. We got West Virginia and Virginia Tech as a difference maker. This is Beat the Pluck, HorneFM.com. Sign up for that. Get to Pluckers.com, the best wings in town. If you're listening in Houston or Dallas, we got listeners all over the state. Get to Pluckers.com. Find one near you. Penn State, you're going to join us there, Rod? And I know you're not a Franklin guy, and neither am I.
I'm not. And it's weird. It's a great stat. The last 10 times that 2 ranked teams from the SEC and the Big Ten have met, I believe the SEC is 8-1-1.
Man.
In the regular season. Last 10 times it's happened. This would be the 11th. And Auburn's leading the country in yards per play offensively. I think like 9.9. And they're leading the country in yards per play defensively, too. I'll go with Penn State because I trust my man KD. He seems pretty passionate about it. But I don't know. Brian Harsin's got something going there, but the cupcake competition so far.
Cupcake competition, always something to look at. All right, let's get to game number 4 here. Arizona State at BYU. Ooh, this is rough for me, Dave. This was probably the toughest one for me. 3.5-point favorite is Arizona State as they go to BYU. BYU lost 8 starters defensively. They obviously lost Zach Wilson. But the quarterback's been able to come in and play pretty well. Their defense has been pretty good. They had that. They got out early against Arizona and ended up not covering but winning that game. And then Utah was obviously the big win for them, and they're able to take care of that. I watched them, and they were pretty damn good defensively. I'm going to go ahead and lean with BYU. And I've seen a lot of people taking Arizona State in this thing. Arizona State favored by 3.5 at BYU. I'll take BYU. What say you?
I agree with you on BYU. They're playing at home. They've already won 2 Pac-12 games against Pac-12 teams. Arizona State's played nobody. And you're getting the hook. I think BYU's the play here.
Rod, what do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I'm with BYU on that one, too.
All right, we're both with BYU. Let's get to our next game here. It's Beat the Pluck, HornFM.com. Virginia at North Carolina. Virginia, as you know, they got a W, and it was I guess, kind of impressive in terms of the score against Illinois. I don't know how good Illinois is, though. They go to North Carolina. Top 10 preseason team. They were coming off the loss, the initial loss to start the season against Virginia Tech, but Carolina just whooped Georgia State last week. Do they have that offense together? Are they going to cover this by 8?
I'm not sure about that. I think Virginia's won the last 4 times they've played, and they're getting 8 points. Carolina definitely looked better last week against inferior competition, but I think Mendenhall's always got a good game plan against teams in the ACC, and I like Virginia to cover.
Damn it, Dave, you're catching on now. You know, the 2 games that I was going to separate were Michigan State, Miami, and then also Virginia, North Carolina. Have you been listening to the show all week? Be honest.
Kevin, listen, whether you pick Virginia or Carolina, I'm going to pick what I want to pick. And you know what? I've been terrible the last 2 weeks. Got to turn around. Law of
average. No, I'm telling you, man, you're kicking. I mean, I agree with you. We'll see if it turns out well. But I think this is another one. I think Michigan State, Miami is the easiest one on the board this week. And I think Virginia, Carolina, sitting at 8, is there too. I researched their offense. Lots of shifts. Lots of motions. They'll play 5 different quarterbacks. They've got the lefty who has been fantastic for them this year, the redheaded lefty, Brennan Armstrong, I believe. But he's been awesome. I'm telling you, I think Virginia is for real. I don't buy Carolina. You're going to give me 8 on this thing. I'm all over Virginia. The other thing that Mendenhall's done, that's that he, I read an article he led, learned from Taysom Hill, is that he's got BTP, which is on their roster, and I went to their roster. And I'm sorry, FTP. And I'm like, well, what's FTP? Football player. They've got literally that spot out there that could be a quarterback who's athletic. They do a lot
of ball player.
They do a lot of funky stuff offensively. I've seen MAC teams with stuff like that before. I'm going all in on Virginia here, Rod.
Is
Dave.
That's a good one, man. You know what? I'll go against the grain. I'll take Mac.
Okay.
Because I know how Mac is after.
You're leaning with your boy.
Yeah, because after Mac is really good after an embarrassing losses. And that loss at the beginning of the year, that was embarrassing for Mac. And Mac's teams usually bounce back pretty well. Trust me, I was a part of embarrassing losses, and we bounced back pretty well.
We're talking with Dave Paul here. It's Beat the Pluck. We're previewing college games. Essentially, this is a great way for us to have some fun, get you guys some free food and some free drinks, and have fun at Pluckers, but also be able to talk about all these games nationally. This was one of the biggest ones nationally, and it's a shame that they don't play it every year, but it's also a shame that Nebraska is not – I shouldn't say a shame. It's different that Nebraska is not the Nebraska when this game was one of the top rivalries in college football. Cornhuskers, Scott Frost, lots of questions about them. They go to Norman to take on OU. OU's defense was not good against Tulane. Who knows what you can prove from playing Western Carolina. Sooners are a 22.5-point favorite. And guess what? I'm going to ride with the Sooners. I got too many questions about Nebraska. And OU can put the pedal to the metal and get points like that. I think their defense plays well. I think Spencer Rattler goes off. I'm not even sure we're sweating 22.5. Dave, you with me or are you taking the Huskers?
I'm with you. I think makes me feel old when I remember this game actually meaning something, you know, 25, 30 years ago. But I watched that entire Nebraska-Illinois game, and Nebraska is not a good football team. Scott Frost, I think, is in big trouble. And I think OU got their scare already. The defense is way better than giving up, I think it was 36 against Tulane. And Nebraska's giving up 61% against opposing quarterbacks. You're putting Rattler in there. I mean, I feel like you could probably name the score. They probably put up 52. I don't see Nebraska putting up 30.
Totally agree. OU was also pissed this game was an early game, Rod. The Sooners?
Yeah, I'm going with the Sooners. I think they can cover the number. I know it's a big number, but, you know, they're actually leading college football right now in pressures generated on defense. That defense, although not looking like it's going to be as dominant as we anticipated, it's still really, really effective. They got some game changers over there.
They do. All right, last game here. This is the game of the week nationally. You got 2:30 matchup. It'll be Alabama at Florida. Alabama's looked really good so far, but really that's against one opponent, Miami, who I think was overranked. Saban's been getting after him a little bit, Dave, and we know Florida, they're replacing a lot of guys, especially skill talent, but it's in the swamp. Alabama, 14.5-point favorite. Where are you going?
I mean, I would think I'd like to pick Florida, but, you know, Bryce Young's first true road start. I mean, he played well against Miami in the neutral site game. But Watson, Emory Jones, their top two rushers are their quarterbacks, and that is not a good situation against Alabama. I don't see the Gators being able to score more than 10 or 13 points, so I like the Tide cover.
Man, I've been back and forth on this one because I love Anthony Richardson. I'm not sure how much we're going to see of him. I think he's going to be fantastic when it's all said and done. I really want to take Florida. Mainly because I'm not totally sold on Bama yet. But I bet against Bama too much in my life. And I've learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Young still has some stuff to kind of prove to all of us. But Florida's got more question marks. And 14.5, I don't like the hook at all. But I think they win this thing by 17, 3 touchdowns, maybe more. I'm going to go with Bama. Rod?
Yeah, don't bet against the GOAT.
Yeah, you never do.
I mean, that's not smart. Him or Brady, when you go against them, they always make you look stupid. So, yeah, I'll take Nick Saban all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
All right, so we don't.
And actually, don't take Nick Saban on Sundays. Twice on Saturdays. Because on Sundays, it's not good.
All right, Dave, we were thinking alike this week. We had 6 of the same picks. We do have the one different pick, so it's all going to come down to West Virginia and Virginia Tech. Just for S&Gs, we're not going to need it, but the tiebreaker, Rice at Texas, 25.5. Would you lay that with the horns?
I think this is one of those games that you can see what kind of coach a young coach is in a program's history. If Texas comes out, dominates this game, I think I'll feel better about Sark than I would if it's a close game. If the game's close, it doesn't tell me he can rally the players. It doesn't matter if the Texas talent's where it's going to be hopefully in 3 years. You've got to come out at home and beat a depleted Rice team badly. So I do like the Horns. I think Stars got enough. They got enough. I think Bijan has a huge game. I don't see Rice stopping him, and I think the Horns cover it.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that direction, too. In fact, I had this down. If we had to get to that pick, I was going to take Texas to cover. Lots of questions about Texas. Rice is a veteran team. They played a like team in Arkansas, very tight for a lot of that game. So it's very easy to look at that and say Texas is not going to cover. I think Texas will cover. I don't think it's going to answer a lot of the big questions they have moving forward. We'll get people to Pluckers and Pluckers.com. Dave, we appreciate it, man. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Dave Paul.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, so looking at it, and, man, I really got you. Jeff, we'll bring you in here. I was hoping that Michigan State and Miami, because I've been preaching that all week long, yeah. I was hoping that would be a separator, and I was really hoping he'd take North Carolina. I felt like those are the two that I've really been able to get on him the last couple weeks. But like Dave does, he does his research, and he was ready to go.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rod on North Carolina. Mac's teams typically, if they start slow or have that early season loss, they typically get going and recover from that. Man, the Michigan State Miami one is fascinating to me because this really could be the end for Manny Diaz, couldn't it? Like, it really is trending that way. I think
it already is the end. I think we're just determining when that's going to happen now.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it looked like for a hot minute, Mark Richt was maybe getting that thing turned.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
It felt like it. Like they
did. It feel like that recruiting wise too.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It did, but then it. Miami to me is frustrating because that's one program, guys, I've got to just recalibrate expectations for it. I heard Jimmy Johnson talking about this right around the time he went to the Hall of Fame. He was doing a radio interview, and he was asked point blank. He said, do you think Miami will ever be what it was again? And he said, no chance. And that shocked me, like, wow, he really went out of limb. But, Kevin, both of you guys are a little bit older than me and can remember this. Back when, Jimmy had Miami rolling and even the early part of Dennis Erickson's tenure, they were still an independent and playing a national schedule, and college football on TV was not then what it is now.
And you didn't have kids leaving as much, and that hurts them like it hurts Texas.
Miami was on TV every week.
Yeah.
So you had – school still really hadn't figured out, man, if we just recruit Dade and Broward County, we can be a top 25 team. They hadn't figured that out yet, at least nationally like they have now. And, Miami doesn't play a national schedule anymore. You play that conference schedule, so you don't have – that national brand appeal that you once had. So to hear Jimmy Johnson say, there's no way it'll ever be what it was again, I'm starting to just kind of reconfigure in my brain how I think of Miami football.
It won't. Now, I think Nebraska's got different hurdles. Nebraska will never be what it was. And Rod and I have talked about it. Texas will never have the type of recruiting they had under Mac in the state of Texas. I just don't think you're going to shut it off like that and end up getting 24 out of the best 25 guys, right?
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, you won't be able to run the state really with an iron fist the way Mac did. Mac basically was, his recruiting was trickle down economics.
And yeah,
he took the top recruits, and everybody else just got the rest. It won't happen like that anymore. Unfortunately for Texas, it won't happen.
HornFM.com and get to Pluckers.com. HornFM.com to sign up for Beat the Pluck. Quickly, let me tell you about SharpVision.com. SharpVision Modern LASIK with new football season. It's a great time to get in there and just get rid of the hassles of contacts and glasses. They can help you do that. They got LASIK starting at $495 per eye. You get guaranteed financing to go with that. So whether you're going to the game, watching it on TV, get the perfect vision, you can do that with Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. The procedure for me was quick, easy, and painless. The consultation is essentially a free eye exam, so if anything else is going on, you'll find out about that. And you can be in, out, do that during a lunch break, the consultation. 512-596-2020, 512-596-2020, or sharpvision.com, sharp with an E-vision.com, Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, the official LASIK provider of Austin FC. What are we ranting about today?
Just NFL whip around. I do research every week on NFL games. Don't get to use half the research. So we'll go through the matchups this week, and I'll give you a little nugget for each of those matchups, something that I found doing my research. All of that and more in Rod's Rant of the Day right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've got it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Miami-esque. That's wild. Well, come on back. Come on out here and hang out with us. We're right now at the Craft House Kitchen and Tap having a good time. My man Chase came out to say what's up. We appreciate all the fans who came by just to say what's up, man, and show us some love. All right, I got NFL nuggets galore. So I'm just going to try to go game by game here and try to get as many of these in as we can. We won't do Cowboys and we won't do Texans. Texans taking on the Cleveland Browns.
How many nuggets you got, Rod?
Cowboys. Well, I got kind of stuff for all. I mean, I did research for the games.
We could, like, go off the fast food deal and call
the
NFL 10-piece, the NFL 6-piece.
I won't get to everything, trust me. That's why I just try to, like, get to as many as I can. So we won't do Cowboys, Chargers. We won't do Houston, Browns. Let's start with the Rams at the Colts. I love this stat from the Rams last week. In his first start with, you know, obviously the new offensive mind, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, he never broke 150 passer rating with Detroit in 168 games, did it in his first game with Sean McVay.
That's great.
Had 250-plus yard touchdowns, first time that's happened since 1968.
I love that stat. Yep.
And the Rams had 250-plus yard touchdowns all of last year. He had two in one game.
So the marriage looks like it makes sense right now, right?
Early on, it looks like it makes sense. Let's move on to the new.
And quickly, he hasn't even gotten comfortable with the waggle and boot game yet.
No, not yet. Okay, so moving on to New England at the Jets, the J-E-T-S Jets. A couple of little nuggets here, one about New England, one about the Jets. How about this? For Matt Jones, his first start was a really good start, 29 of 39, 281 yards. It's the second best completion percentage in NFL history for a rookie making his first start.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it, like I said, that looks like it's working already. Mac Jones looks really, really good. For the Jets, I don't know if this is a good stat or not, but I found it, and it's random. Jets, of course, were at the Panthers. That was a Sam Darnold revenge game. And Zach Wilson was sacked 6 times. Here are the last 10 quarterbacks to be sacked at least 6 times in their first career start. DeShone Kizer, Paxton Lynch, Tyrod Taylor, Greg McElroy, Chad Haney, Dan Orlovsky, Patrick Ramsey, David Carr, Tim Couch, Bobby Hoyer.
Bobby Hoyer. That's...
Yeah.
Bobby Hoyer. Wow. Bobby, not even Brian.
Brian Hoyer or Bobby Hoying?
Hoying, sorry.
Bobby Hoying. Yeah, Bobby Hoying.
Yeah, sorry.
I apologize.
Way back
I
got my Brian Hoyer and my Bobby Hoying.
Michigan State, Ohio State.
I apologize.
All you had to say with all those names was Jag.
Sorry for
I apologize.
Bad for confusing your meeting.
No, right.
No. I mixed it up. I apologize to Brian Hoyer or Bobby Hoying.
As a football nerd, I ate up all those names.
The most shocking thing about that stat you just gave, Rod, I'm shocked Troy Aikman is not on that list.
I think it was a bunch of, the whole point is there was Jags on there.
Yeah.
And not elite quarterbacks. Yeah. I think that's the point that the stat's trying to make. Okay, so getting to another matchup here. Let's move on to the, you know, San Fran at Philly. I mean, you got two unbeatens here. This should be interesting. Here's a great stat about my man Shano, because I know they have Raheem Mostert. He's going to be out for the season. So they got Elijah Mitchell, the sixth-round pick from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He had 19 rushes for 104 yards, 73 yards after contact. But how about this stat from my man Shano? Over the past 25 years, there have been 6 times a running back drafted after the 5th round has rushed for 1,400-plus yards in a season. 5 of 6 of those have come from the Mike Shanahan system, which is, of course, the Kyle Shanahan system. So, Elijah Mitchell, I know a lot of y'all out there in the fantasy world, that might be a nice pickup. Just throwing it out there because he's in that Shanahan system.
Maybe
Davis,
too late.
Yeah, you're right.
Mike Anderson.
Yeah, you're right. It might be too late for that. Good point. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, here's a great stat about Jalen Hurts, because he had a great first game there, first game of the season. He led all quarterbacks in the NFL in accuracy rate over expected. As a matter of fact, if you combine accuracy rate over expected, expected points added per drop back, and Pro Football Focus's quarterback overall grade, he had the best week one of any quarterback in the league.
That's crazy.
You combine all those stats. That is freaking crazy because I didn't see that coming either. Let's go to Las Vegas at Pittsburgh. Don't have much on Vegas, but Pittsburgh, how about this? They led the NFL in quarterback hurries with 11 in week one. Their pressure rate was third best, 32%. They only blitzed less than 5% of the time. In 2020, they blitzed 40% of the time. They were a heavy blitz team in 2020. Wow. Didn't blitz a lot in that game one and ended up discombobulating Josh Allen, moving around Minkah Fitzpatrick. He played everywhere. Robber, rat, slot corner. They blitzed him. He played outside linebacker, mug linebacker. He was all over the place. So, I mean, watch the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. I think a lot of people assume that Pittsburgh would fall off, including myself. That is not really happening. How about this? The Saints. I'll give the Saints some love because that coaching staff right now, they're dealing with COVID. They got only four available coaches. They got six coaches with COVID right now. Go look at that New Orleans Saints coaching staff and that job they did against the Packers. It was unbelievable. And I'll give that Aaron Rodgers stat later. I'll stick with these Saints facts right here, or stats for now. So now the Saints, with James Winston as their quarterback, they had a deep touchdown, a 55-yard touchdown that traveled 50 yards in the air. Drew Brees threw 9,421 passes for the Saints. Never had a touchdown that traveled 50-plus yards in the air. Never. He never had a 40-plus yarder in 2020 and only five that were 30 yards or more in the air.
Brees kind of mocked himself on Sunday night when they were showing, because they were obviously getting the running game going but taking some deep shots at Jameis, and Drew said, "Oh, they've been waiting to do that for years."
I mean, it would seem, but it's like great coaches like Sean McVay and like a Sean Payton, when they get a new weapon, new toy to play with, they're going to play
Or something, even though they really like the old toy, there's this one thing it couldn't do.
Great point.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do that.
How about this one? Denver at Jacksonville. They got a nickname for Teddy Bridgewater in the gambling world, and they basically called him Ted the Spread. Ted the Spread is because Teddy Bridgewater has got the best record against the spread in starts since 2001 with quarterbacks of a minimum of 30 starts. He's got a 35-14-1 record, 71%. Win percentage against the spread. That is better than Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. It's crazy.
That, and who would have thought it would have been Teddy Bridgewater?
Ted the Spread, baby. Just throw it out there for all you degenerate gamblers, baby. Ted the Spread. Remember it well. The other game here I want to get to. I want to try to make sure I get to as many of these little nuggets as I can. Let's jump down to Minnesota at Arizona. Okay, here's another thing about I threw this out there, too, about Jalen Hurts, that he led the NFL, if you combined accuracy rate over expected points added per dropback, and Pro Football Focus overall quarterback grade. Kyler Murray would be third when you combined all those stats. As a matter of fact, here's a hell of a stat. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and Jalen Hurts were all top three quarterbacks when you combined accuracy rate over expected points added per dropback, and Pro Football Focus quarterback grade. They were 1, 2, and 3. For performances in week one.
I wonder what all three of those guys have in common.
Yeah, somewhere Lincoln Riley is putting that stat somewhere, and he's favoriting that stat.
That got out the quarterback.
That's getting sent pretty quickly.
No doubt. How about this, though? And this is because I'm just not a fan of Kirk Cousins. So here's about Kirk Cousins, and I'll take Arizona, because I think Arizona's defense is really good. But Kirk Cousins had another opportunity for a fourth quarter comeback, and it failed in their last game. And if you go look at it right now for Kirk Cousins, I mean, he is 9-30-2 at fourth quarter comeback opportunities. Only Ryan Fitzpatrick has a worse record among active quarterbacks. He's just a jag. Just a jag. Next game here on the list. Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons at Tampa Bay. The Atlanta Falcons got mollywopped. How about this? They lost 32-6. They had zero turnovers.
They didn't turn the ball over in that?
They lost 32-6 with zero turnovers.
That's hard to do.
They're the tenth team since 1940 to lose by at least 26 points without a turnover.
So Sid Luckman was still in the league. Yeah,
it's hard to lose. It's hard to get blown out that bad without
really
a turnover.
Is.
Like,
in
you
got
to be really freaking bad. The Bucks, there's something to watch with the Bucks. The last year, people don't realize this about the Bucks. The Bucks were the healthiest team in the NFL last year. They were, if you look at, they only lost 30.6 player games to injury. Among football outsiders, adjusted games lost metrics that made them the healthiest team in the NFL last year. They've already lost a couple of guys. I lost them for the season. They've had guys start dropping already. I'd watch that with Tampa Bay. They were really lucky last year. And from a health perspective,
they were.
If you can't really, if you can't replicate that, they may have some trouble this year, even though they bring back all 22 stars from both sides of the ball.
They do, but the weakness is that secondary, and specifically the depth of that secondary, and that's already being tested.
Damn
and good luck now having a secondary in the NFL.
Yep, totally agree with
you,
that.
Jeff.
100%. Oh, Tom Brady, his great stat, though. The Bucs did become the first team in NFL history when they beat the Cowboys to lose the turnover margin by at least three, to have at least 100 penalty yards, and allow at least 450 yards and still win the game. So that's bad for the Cowboys, I guess.
Bad secondary.
Tennessee at Seattle. Let's give you a couple of nuggets there. Russell Wilson, though, I'll give you this. He's now 6-0 versus Carson Wentz. So if he ever plays Carson Wentz, you might want to bet on him. But here's something I was surprised with Tennessee, and I couldn't believe this was actually the case. Tennessee led the NFL in play-action pass percentage when Arthur Smith, who is now the Falcons head coach, was their offensive coordinator. Remember, he was with that organization for like a decade. He's with them forever. They led the NFL in play-action pass percentage, 36% in 2020. They only used play-action pass 11% versus Arizona in week one with a new OC. Somebody tell that new OC that they had a formula for success, and it's more play-action pass. Like, that's – I don't know where – how Mike Vrabel missed that, but they got to correct that.
You have a 2,000-yard back, you figure play-action is probably something that should be in your arsenal.
Even if they're neutralizing your back, you should still be using play-action as much as you can.
Help them out, too, because that offensive line, which is usually very physical, they got – they look like crap.
They did, and that's exactly
which was weird.
That's their calling
card.
Weird
to see that. That's who they are.
That is who they are. Great point about that. Kansas City at Baltimore. I'll just give you these stats. Patrick Mahomes is undefeated, 11-0 in the month of September as a starting quarterback with 35 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the month of September in his young career. And he's 5-0 in his 5-0 in the last matchup, five matchups versus Baltimore. At least the Chiefs are, I should say, not him. So they have pretty much owned the Chiefs, and I think that'll continue. Honey Badger's coming back for them, and also Frank Clark, so throw that out there. Last matchup will be the Monday night matchup, Detroit at Green Bay. Here's a great Green Bay stat that's just mind-blowing. In Aaron Rodgers' 211th start, which was the disastrous performance versus the Saints, it was the first time he lost by more than 30 points in his career.
Wow.
Old Testament style butt whipping. Oh, they had an amazing. I gave you the stats about. I can give them why Jeff said. We got a little time.
Yeah, we got
these,
time.
These, oh, man.
We're talking Texans up next. We got time. Right, I'm talking to you. We got
no,
time.
No, I know. That's what I was like. I agree with you. But the analytics in terms of micro targeting weaknesses of quarterbacks, what they found is that Aaron Rodgers struggles versus two high safety looks, but only from
great.
0 to 19 yards. So versus single high safeties, Aaron Rodgers last year, 29 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 123 passer rating. Versus 2 high safety looks, he had only 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 101 passer rating. So, okay, you should play more 2 high. But then you dig deeper. From 10 to 19 yards versus single high, Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 114 passer rating. Versus 2 high, 0 to 19 yards, he had 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 71 passer rating. Ding, 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 right? We found something. 0 to 9 yards versus single high, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Versus 2 high, 0 to 9 yards, 0 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. We found something. And that's what the Saints did. The Saints, they just played 2 high. They didn't blitz them like they did in 2020. You played 2 high, and then you try to devote more resources to the try to win the numbers game on the back end rather than winning it on the front end. And it worked. I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers will figure this out, and they will scheme around it. But it's pretty obvious that when you break it down that he struggles versus 2 high, not necessarily deep, but between 0 and the line of scrimmage to 19 yards. It's fascinating.
Great numbers, aren't they?
It's phenomenal, man. I tell people all the time, I wish they could see how hard Rod works in the pile of notes that he's got every day.
It's good stuff.
And I appreciate it, fellas.
It's good stuff.
There you go. There's your NFL whip around. I have another one next week when I, you know, end up accumulating a whole bunch of useless notes for the week that if I don't flush them and I don't get them out there, then they're useless.
I hate that.
Those stats are useless. I did all their hard work for nothing.
The NFL fun bucket.
Yeah. No, I like that. Fun bucket is good. I like that. I like
the
that.
Bucket of fun.
That is
usually
good.
We're taught in radio, go out with bullets. But once you get to Friday, I had some nuggets last week. And then on Saturday, as I'm watching games, I'm thinking, whoa.
I should threw that out
should
there.
Should I tweet this?
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I probably could tweet out half of that stuff, too. But
I want you to know that we knew this beforehand. All right, we're hanging out at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. It is Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. And really friendly people out here. They got some drink specials as well, Jeff.
Yeah, I've got Allstead, got the lager and the Hyph both on tap here. down at Craft House. So come check it out.
All right, we're going to talk NFL up next. We'll do Houston Browns preview if we've got time after that, which I think we will. We'll just take a quick whip around, kind of add on to what Rod did in the NFL. This is The Horn.
Jack Daniels, if you please.
Country Music Friday here on RBKD. We got Jeff Howe hanging out with us. We're in San Marcos, his neck of the woods, Craft House Kitchen and Tap. It is in the Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. And people are getting ready for not only college football, obviously high school football tonight, so get that Horn app. We're going to get you to the Flex at 6:30.
Snoop, Snoop.
Horn app will help you out for that. Also, pregame starting at 3 o'clock, and you got postgame. An hour after network postgame, which obviously will follow the game immediately. All right, let's get back to pro football here. Houston Texans, David Culley.
Hey.
We're not listening to the noise.
I better stop.
We're not listening to the noise. You play Jacksonville. Stop, David. If you guys actually, if they win this game, then all of a sudden he can come out and say that. But Houston 1-0, Rod, taking on Cleveland. Cleveland's got to be just kicking themselves because they felt like they had a great chance to win that game, and what an opening statement that would have been against Kansas City. They still look pretty good. This should be all Browns, right?
Yeah, it should be. Browns are – last time I looked, they were a 12.5-point favorite. If that line stands, how about this? That'll be the largest amount the Browns have been favored by in a game since they came back as a franchise in 1999.
I believe that.
Belichick was probably the coach the last time the Browns were favored.
Yeah, so.
It's at 13 right now.
It's at 13 right now, so it's going up. But the Texans, listen, Tyrod Taylor had one of his best games. I love this stat. Tyrod Taylor and the Texans. Give Tim Kelly some credit, the offensive coordinator. Tyrod Taylor ran a lot of pistol formation. So that is Tim Kelly looking at Tyrod Taylor's background and going, you ran a lot of pistol when you were in Buffalo with Greg Roman, and let's try to bring you back to that comfort zone. So they ran the second most pistol in the NFL behind the Baltimore Ravens in week one, who, of course, ran the most pistol. 32% of their plays came out of pistol, and they were really varied, Jeff. 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 21 personnel. They ran a ton of different personnel packages. Wildcat, all of that stuff out of pistol. It was really impressive. I know, but it's the Texans.
It's the Texans.
That's what you got to do, Rod. You got to mix it up. You got to be diverse. You can't just, you're not just going to line up and bully ball people.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, I totally agree with that. Give yourself a schematic advantage. So that's something good. And Tyrod Taylor's playing with a lot of confidence. He was sacked one time, and I think they hit him six times. But he's going to be going up against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney this time.
Yeah. A little bit different.
That scares me a little. No Odell Beckham Jr. for the Browns, but I don't know if that'll matter. They got so many weapons that, you know, they didn't have him for game one either. I mean, he hasn't been with them for
that roster's loaded. And the fact that that's gone up to 13, I think that line alone tells you kind of what Vegas is looking at with that. A couple other games in the NFL. I'll throw this one out there. We don't want to talk too much about it. I just want to get your take on it because we're still feeling stuff out here in week two. Bills at the Dolphins. Buffalo favored by 3. Miami's coming off the 17-16 win against New England. Did a good job defensively in the red zone against Mac Jones and that crew.
Yeah.
And the Bills coming off a game where, you know, Pittsburgh didn't do – it's such a Pittsburgh win. You look at the stats and you go, how the hell with Big Ben do they win that? They block a punt. They just kind of do what they do.
That's exactly right.
To get that W. Jeff, I'll start with you. Bills at Dolphins. You taking the Bills to kind of get to 500 here and go down there and get a win?
No, I'm not.
Interesting.
I like the Dolphins. I love me some Tua, but I think when you look at how they're kind of insulating him a little bit, they're doing it with running back by committee. Malcolm Brown is going to be a really big part of their run game. I mean, people forget he's been in the league for a while now. They signed him as a free agent to be a really big part of their run game. And, you know, with Brian Flores, they're following the New England model. They just play really good defense. They try not to screw anything up. So they've got a good plan in place for Tua. But I like the way the Dolphins, I like the way they've A, built that roster, and B, I just like their style of play. I like the Dolphins a lot.
I love that defense. And you're right about Malcolm Brown. The Rams, they probably sad they let him go.
Yeah.
Considering their situation. So I do kind of like the Dolphins, but I'm going to pick the Bills. I think there may be a sense of urgency about starting 0-2.
Yeah. Here's a game that certainly no one thought the Saints were going to win. And even if you did, you didn't think the Saints were going to win the way they did. Rod gave you some great numbers on that. You can get to hornfm.com. Saints are at the Panthers. Saints favored by 3.5. Both teams 1-0. You kind of talked about Sam Darnold and what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Or what he did in one game. He had the revenge tour. Saints go down there. You really believe in this Saints team right now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the last 10 games without Drew Brees, Sean Payton's 9-1. He's just a hell of a coach, man. He is. And for them to pick Jacksonville because they did their research for and looked for where Aaron Rodgers played some of his worst football, and then they looked and saw that he squeaked out a win over Miami in 2014, lost to the Jags in 2008, only averaged 5.85 yards per attempt against the Jags in 2016, 1-3 in Tampa with multiple interceptions in all those losses, including the 38-10 loss to Tampa early on in the season in 2020, and they said, you know what, let's play in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And turns out they were right. Mm-hmm. That coaching staff, he's one of the best in the NFL. Think about it. They used to have Joe Brady on that coaching staff.
Yeah.
And he was like down on like the lower level of
that
coaching staff.
That's how the Louisiana college team found out about him.
Exactly.
Joe Lombardi, who's now with the Chargers, he was also a part of that
dude,
staff.
Dude, and Sean Payton.
Sean Payton knows. Well, I mean, the guy worked for Bill Parcells.
That is
true.
He
was one of the best being able to hire non-NFL coaches. I'm fascinated, KD, with the Jameis thing.
Like, yeah.
We talk about Darnold's revenge and all these other quarterbacks, but Jameis, to get him and let him just sit behind Drew Brees for a year, there's no pressure on him. We know he's talented. I mean, when you talk about just arm talent, he's on that short list of top-end guys in the league. Granted, I mean, people look at the 30 interceptions. And he's also a 5,000-yard passer and threw 30 touchdowns that year. So if Sean Payton can just break down his game, and he's done that over the last year, accentuate the positives, take away the weaknesses, get more of the 30 touchdown Jameis and less of the 30 interception Jameis, I think you've really got something. People forget how talented he was and how talented he is.
No doubt. Yeah. Don't forget that's also that the Saints have multiple coaches with COVID.
That's true. No, you brought that up. Multiple. And that's definitely something to look at. Okay, we're going to get back to Texas Rice, get the guys' thoughts on that. A little more preview, keys to a big win. One more segment here. We're at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. That is Nelson Shopping Center, 242 North LBJ Drive. Come by and say hi. This is The Horn.
Knock me to my knees.
Welcome back to RBKD. We are looking live from the Craft House Kitchen and Tap in San Marcos, having a great time. One more hour left in the show, so if you're in town, come on out here and say what's up. Come out here and grab yourself a nice cold one and get the weekend started the right way. We've been breaking down Texas Rice. We'll continue to do that. Also hitting some NFL news, notes, and nuggets as well. We'll get back to that conversation. We're in San Marcos. My man Jeff Howe is joining us. He's been here for the entirety of the show, so we appreciate him. He's working hard.
Putting in double time
to hang out with RBKD. But usually you'll hear him with the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way, on Light the Tower. And you hear that from 10 to noon. Monday through Friday. With my man Snoop Daniel, J.J. Don.
Snoop. We're about to get to.
Oh, as a matter of fact, yes, coming up in 30 minutes from now.
Less than that.
Snoop, there you go.
You and Craig are the only two people, other than Snoop's parents, that are allowed to use some form of his Christian name in public.
I started doing it because of Craig every
Jonathan.
Morning.
Like Craig goes the full.
Oh, it's the intro.
Jonathan Daniels.
Yeah. Yeah, he gives the whole name.
Yeah,
is it Jonathan John?
Jonathan John Donaldson. Is
I love
full
it.
Name.
J.J. Don.
Sorry, Snoop. Sorry. I just.
J.J. Dunn, man.
Just gave it away.
Yeah. I like
it. Well, Craig does it 5 days a week.
That's true.
I think it's actually kind of a cool name, actually. I don't know why he didn't use it more.
I have a great time doing Light the Tower in addition to my work at Horns 24/7, in addition to my work with Rod B on the Longhorn Blitz podcast.
Shout out.
We are out here at Craft House Kitchen and Tap. Come by. Got Altstadt beer on tap. Got the lager and the hype. So all you Texas State students, I know there ain't no Friday classes. I know you need your pregame. For what's going on later, so come do it here at Craft House.
Texas State Bobcats, do they play here or away this week? Do you know?
I have to throw that. Let me throw that in the Google machine.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
That was a random. I just threw that at you. Boom.
Calling him out.
He's a Bobcat.
Now, they beat FIU last week, didn't they?
He's a Bobcat.
23-17.
Sorry. I didn't. My bad.
That's all right.
Yes, it is home against Incarnate Word this week.
Okay. Oh, they should beat the hell out of Incarnate Word. Not actually, I shouldn't say that because that's a religious school. Sorry, guys. They will beat them soundly, right?
And go to 2-1.
It's disrespectful.
On the year.
You shouldn't say that.
Beat the tar out of them.
Yeah, you should say that.
Say something like that. Go Ned Flanders on it.
Exactly. All right, Texas Rice. Hopefully, Texas can beat the tar out of Rice.
Yes.
And the Rice Owls. All right, Jeff. I want to get your thoughts, man, about this matchup a little bit more. You know, we've kind of talked about the things that we're looking for. What do you want to see ideally from Casey Thompson? In his first start since he was in high school.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that
2017.
It's been so long, since 2017.
Patience, number one.
You said that. You said that.
Rice is going to give you a lot of different looks. You've expressed that. Make you communicate. So, patience, number one. Poise. Casey's been really – anytime he's coming to the game, he's been really poised. He's looked comfortable. Mm-hmm. Don't lose sight of that just because now you're in that different role. If you're preparing to be the starter, you're not coming in as the backup, cold off the bench or whatever. And really, other than the Alamo Bowl, the two times he's been on the field this year, it's been in no-pressure situations for two very different reasons. One, you were way ahead. The other game, you were way behind. So, patience, poise. And the other thing, and this is more of a Sark thing. I know Sark said this week, look, we have quarterback run game in the offense, but we don't major in it. I'm not saying you need to major in it. But you probably need to think about minoring in that thing.
Hey,
you got a
quarterback. That's the same thing KD said that.
Great minds think.
You've got a quarterback who can make people pay with his legs on design runs. That we talk about dual-threat quarterbacks, and people have different definitions. My definition of a dual-threat quarterback has always been, can you design a legitimate run game around that quarterback? Mm-hmm. And in that sense, Casey Thompson is a dual-threat quarterback. You can design a legitimate run game around his skill set.
Yeah.
Use that. I know Sark has it. You know, the last time Sark really used that guy is probably when he was at Washington.
Jake Locker.
No,
Jake Locker. Keith Price before that.
Yeah.
And honestly, Keith's not as much.
No, Keith Price not as much. They would try. They were so bad, he had to do anything he could because everything was a weakness.
Yeah.
You don't need to get back there necessarily, but I want to get your mind back there a little bit.
Dust
it
off.
But you don't have Mac Jones and Tua and four first-round wide receivers either.
Or five NFL offensive linemen.
Yeah, this is a challenge for Sark to look at this quarterback and say, okay, he does things differently. And, Rod, we've talked about it on the Blitz this week. I've talked about it on the site. Hudson Card ideally is the quarterback. Sark wants to run his offense.
Yes.
When his offense is functioning the way he wants it to.
Yes.
This offense is not going to function the way he wants it to. It's not going to be on schedule. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be crisp. More often than not, you're probably going to be operating in some state of chaos. And within that, can Casey Thompson, KD, I heard you talk about this in the postgame. By the way, you even traded a great job on postgame.
No, thank you. There.
I needed something to entertain myself on a two-hour drive from Fayetteville.
Hopefully
Tulsa,
we did
so
that.
You guys filled the void.
Hopefully we don't have to do that this Saturday. Hopefully this will be a quick 45 minutes. They kicked ass, you know.
Boy, if you guys are having that kind of postgame, we're all having entirely different shows.
Yes, we are.
I'm calling the postgame if that's the case.
I told Rob we're going to get him in there.
Yeah.
But no, so Sark has to figure out what is good. Casey Thompson's not the quarterback he wants, but he's the quarterback he needs right now most likely to make this offense succeed, given the deficiencies he's got everywhere else on the offensive side of the ball. And you know what? Let's see more RPOs. Let's see you manipulate the mesh point, because guess what? You've got a running back that should, regardless of what your offensive line does, you've got a presence in the backfield that should make your play-action game and make your RPO game work. So I want to see Sark take advantage of Casey Thompson's skill set in this game. It's a little bit of both. That's what I want to see from Casey, but a lot of that goes into stuff you need to see from Sark, too.
You won't see the quarterback design run game, not only because Sark is pretty stubborn about it, right?
No, we don't really major in that.
He only called one in the game. He's bragging about it. He's like, don't brag about that. Don't brag about hubris and ignorance to us. We don't. Tom Herman did that. Don't brag about
that. We got that.
Don't brag about being stubborn. So you won't see it. And I don't really want to see it in the Rice game because I don't, you know, don't break it out here. You're going to need it for Big 12 play. So you can break it out then. But I don't want to see the scrambling Casey Thompson either. As my man Katie said, you shouldn't have to see him scrambling in this matchup. You shouldn't have to see him running for his life. There should be solid pass protection for you to look downfield, go through your progressions, and have a vertical passing game, which, by the way, Texas hasn't had. They got one completion over 20 yards. They got 10 completions over 10 yards. That's it.
Yeah.
In two games. Now, for the guy who's called an offensive genius, which, by the way, we have stripped him of that title. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever call that man an offensive genius until he proves it again, okay? But for an offensive genius, you got to be able to push the ball downfield. You got to want to see that in this game versus Rice, too.
This should not determine anything with what Texas is going to be this year. And I mean that hopefully if Texas blows them out, we don't know still the deficiencies that are going to be caused by other or going to run into other teams. We have a pretty good idea because we saw it in Fayetteville. But you're not going to answer any questions this weekend, but you could – add to the concern list and or maybe not add to that list, but all of a sudden, Jeff, just like we did in Fayetteville, you think, man, I thought the offensive line was bad and they were going to be an issue, but it's even been jacked up and dialed up a little bit more than I thought.
Your problems become ailments at that point.
Good way to put it.
There's still issues. If this offensive line can't handle movement and an odd front against Rice, then
you good luck against TCU.
And Oklahoma and the other defense.
Even Tech.
Tech's defense is better.
Tech's defense is not bad.
Every defense in the Big 12 can replicate that.
Outside of Kansas. Although they could replicate it.
Well, they can replicate it. Replication and execution, two different things. Mm-hmm. If your wide receivers can't get off of man coverage in this game, Rod, again, good luck doing it against TCU and Oklahoma.
Yep.
So, again, I'm with Kevin. Your Texas fans aren't going to – you shouldn't feel, regardless of how good it might look, that, okay, they got problems solved. But, man, you can come out of this game, if it's not on point, feeling like, good Lord, this team's got major issues.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, if Casey's got to scramble 9 times against Rice, even if he converts to all those and looks great in the process, Texas got problems. Because that's not going to be able to happen. That's not going to happen in the Big 12 when they spy you with like athletes. If the defensive line is not resetting the line of scrimmage,
no doubt.
If the defensive line, it can't be a push. Like it can't be just a tie between the Texas defensive line and Rice, as you pointed out when you saw them versus Louisiana. You're like, man, they're really high and they're not getting a push, but they weren't getting pushed back.
No,
against Arkansas, they were really high and they got pushed back.
Yeah.
If I see them linemen get pushed back versus Rice, we know, Jeff, gonna be a long year. Long season.
Do you guys remember when Rodgers and Hampton would go up against those Rice offensive lines?
Oh,
and look, I know we're not going to see that, and I wasn't expecting to see that this year or really any year. But it was funny, some of those Texas defensive lines, how quickly they were in the backfield against
wasn't
offensive
lines. It wasn't even funny.
Like
it wasn't
fair. No, it wasn't.
And they would take Casey out after the first quarter sometimes, and Big Sean, right. You guys are done.
Make sure he doesn't get cut.
You feel bad for the opponent.
Yeah.
Like, man, that poor kid.
Miss those days.
Yeah. I do think, though, the more I think about it, I think a lot of your questions and answers, it's not going to be schematic or big picture. A lot of it's going to be personnel. Like, getting back to the D-line, those edge guys you've got, can one or two of those guys be, like, an above-average player, maybe even close to a plus player, or do you just have guys there?
Mm.
Like, that's something that, you know, Ray Thornton, Ovia Gofu, Jacoby Jones, like, are they just guys, or do you have a guy or two in that mix? Man, the same thing with corners, Rod. I don't know how much the corners are going to get tested, but these your two senior corners, they've gotten tested on one deep ball this year.
Yeah.
And it was a double move. Deshaun Jameson gave up a 45-yard
They
completion.
Failed on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
At a crucial time, by the way. With a time where you should have been locked in because it was
a moment
was,
where your
the momentum
coach said
was
that
shifting.
Flipped the game.
Yeah, your coach basically blamed you for
you
shifting
lost.
Your momentum.
He said your team basically lost the game at that point because of a play you allowed
right.
to happen.
You're right. And so, it was a lapse.
Yeah, so there's I'm looking less schematics in this game, to your point. Hopefully you don't need to show a lot against Rice. I'm looking more at just specific personnel that you know if you're deficient in those areas, man, this conference will eat you alive.
Yeah. It's you know, it's the things that if you just watch Texas football over one season in 2020 and then this year, twists and stunts and games up front against the offensive line, bump and run, the corners on the outside. You know, there's just certain things that you got to try to throw at Texas and see if they can solve it. Now, actually, I'm with you. Run at the edges.
Yeah.
I thought Louisiana would do more of it, and they didn't. And Arkansas mashed the edges. I'll give you the stat. 178 out of 333 rush yards for Arkansas were attacking the edges.
Right.
They came after them DNs.
Run on the edges. See if these guys set a better edge this week. Because at times they could not set an edge, and we saw cutbacks with
That's
that.
The big
we
one,
saw
man.
We saw bad pursuit. I understand telling a Rice running back may be a little bit different than an Arkansas running back, but don't be afraid to cut back against this team and make them tackle, make them get in position to tackle.
That's that's two things. To me, that's a technique issue and a discipline issue to give up that many cutback runs. But two,
yeah.
I think that's a Pete Kwiatkowski issue. Like, if you're facing that much zone run,
come on,
slant. Like, do something.
Why not a run blitz?
Something.
Can we run blitz on early down?
Well, also understand, and getting back to
in the backfield,
the thing that worries me the most, and Rod touched on it earlier, with both coordinators, both guys who I think are really damn good at what they do, and Sarkisian and Kwiatkowski, is the misevaluation with this talent this spring in this summer camp. And I think they overrated the defensive line. At some point, and even Box didn't work, and make K.J. Jefferson beat you with his arm, and they never did.
Come on, man. Put Aiden in the bucket box and go man on the outside and say, K.J. Jefferson, be Cam Newton. Isn't that your hero? Well, be Cam Newton. That's how you're going
to
beat us.
And when you ask about him when you ask him on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you get to talk to him, or Sark can answer this on Monday, just say, look, we had to.
Yeah, we had to. You saw what was going on.
We had to.
We were giving up over seven yards a carry. We had to do something. Pete Kwiatkowski allowed
Kevin,
Arkansas,
why were you hoeing on the corner? I had to.
But that 7 yards a carry, guys, to talk about how desperate PK should have been, it was the second most yards per carry allowed with him as a defensive coordinator at the FBS level. He didn't panic. I panicked.
Oh, God.
I started freaking out about it. So the fact that they watched film and they came to the conclusion that our fronts can handle this.
Yes.
Without a true schematic advantage is a little disconcerting. And also, I'll say this, that you start to throw out there that, you know, for some reason, Sark is not running the money plays offensively. The outside zone is their best running play, the most effective running play.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. You know how many outside zone run plays they ran versus Arkansas? Four.
Four?
Four, according to Ian Boyd. He says four. That's it.
I'll trust Ian on that.
I trust Ian on some of that, a lot of that stuff too. Four. So, you should need more. Even if it's six, it should have been more.
Now, are you sure that they weren't trying to get to outside zone? They just never got there? No, I'm kidding. No,
blew up the A gap and the B gap.
We're not sure what that
there.
Was.
But I'm just saying, like, you should have more of that. And, that's actually your most effective running play. And it's Bijan's favorite running play. And, honestly, it fits the offensive line better, too. So.
It does. Hey, here's a good fit for you. That's Apple Leasing, appleleasing.com. A lot of y'all on 35 right now and dealing with traffic. I can hear that, obviously, in the reports. And so if you've got one of those commutes that's just too far and too long and you just think, I need to get in a better car, whether it's gas mileage or you just want something you really want to be in, get to appleleasing.com. They can help you out. You can take that free quote, tell them what you want, any make, any model, or give them a price range and then go from there. They've got multiple financing programs. They got rates as low as 2.9%. Very friendly people, and they've got reps online. You can call them as well, 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or appleleasing.com. Jeff, I hate to do this because this is not one of those games where we should do this, but the reality is that both Arkansas going to the fourth quarter, but Arkansas and Houston went into the locker room at half, and it was still a game.
Mm-hmm.
What are the keys for Texas to maybe get past that, but also in the second half really feel comfortable that they pulled away from this thing?
Can I give you this Pete Kwiatkowski overview real quick?
Please do.
Okay. So typically we talk about the success first-year Texas defensive coordinators have.
Right.
And you know, but it takes a while to get there. Basically, they all have a clunker or a stretch of games early where it's not good. Let me just run it down. So Manny Diaz in 2011, game six, Oklahoma State runs for 202 yards. They average 7.5 attempt in a win in late October. Over the final seven games, Texas only allowed 520 total rushing yards, 2.2 per attempt. They finished sixth in the country in run defense, but you had a veteran defense. They figured out that Manny Diaz, high risk, high reward defense. You finished number 16 in the country in tackles for loss. Game 5 of 2014, the Vance Bedford, Charlie Strong defense. Baylor just runs the ball down their throat. They played a bend but don't break. Bryce Petty had a horrible day throwing the ball, but Baylor ran it 60 times and ran the ball down their throat. But Texas got it turned around. They finished 31st in the country in total defense. They finished 31st nationally in scoring defense, 25th in total defense, 19th in the country in red zone defense, and 22nd in third down defense. That defense got to the point where it was an elite defense in 2014. In 17, up and down through the first six games, but game seven, Oklahoma State comes to town. They're averaging over 50 points a game. What does Todd Orlando find?
He finds the lightning package.
He debuted the lightning package in that game. Completely turned around that defense. When the dust settled in 17, Texas was third in the country in third down defense, eighth in run defense, 29th in scoring defense, 22nd in turnover margin, and they led the country in defensive touchdowns. And even last year with Chris Ash, remember how ugly the Texas Tech game was, how they couldn't defend the quarterback run against TCU? By the end of the year, guys, Texas finished a top 30 defense in yards per play allowed, and they were 35th in defensive SP plus. So basically, Chris Ash ended up fielding a top 35 defense.
He figured it out with the personnel.
With a horrible start in a wonky COVID year. So Pete Kwiatkowski can get it back. Just it's going to be rough for a little bit. The difference between Pete Kwiatkowski and all those other coordinators we mentioned goes back to the personnel issue. All those guys had guys that played in the National Football League, in some cases, were high draft picks. Even last year,
Joseph Osai,
Caden Stern, Quan Graham, guys are on NFL roster.
Great.
How much NFL talent, top-end talent, does Pete Kwiatkowski have on this defense to get it turned around?
I think you got
it's good stuff.
Two guys, maybe? Two?
Not a lot.
So, and then you got Overshown.
So
you
got maybe
three. Two interior D-line.
Yeah, Sweat and Coburn.
Sweat and Coburn.
But I tell you what, they're not playing like it right
now. I know.
And at the end of the day, I hope we all come back on Monday and say that both lines of scrimmage looked better. Because if they don't look good this game, guys,
it's going to be a long season.
going to be a longer season than maybe we even thought. Jeff, thanks for coming out, man. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Don't forget, pregame tomorrow starting at 3. Get the Horn app. We got postgame, network postgame right after the game. And then Trey and I will have you covered 1 hour after the game. That'll do it for us. Thanks to all the people out here. This has been a lot of fun. Craft House Kitchen and Tap. Thanks to Derek. Thanks to Trevor. Thanks to John Reichel back in the studio. Get on out here because 35 is a mess, guys. We may be hanging out here and just getting something to eat and having a cold one and talking for a little while. So appreciate all that. We got high school football coming up next. The Flex will get you covered. Peace.
Snoop.
Snoop.